Welcome back to another day in the bubble. I'm David Diamante, your host of Matchroom Radio, the new daily podcast offering during fight week. We'll have exclusive insight from the fighters, breaking news from Matchroom's global activity, and straight up boxing banter. If you haven't listened to it already, yesterday we opened the series with Josh Warrington and Zelpha Barrett, who spoke mindset, the responsibilities of being a father, their huge fights this Saturday, and more. We also broke some news at the end of the show, which was Jordan Gill's inclusion on next Saturday's show. So today, we're going to start the show with the exclusive. And for that, we caught up with Eddie Hearn a little earlier. Here's what he had to say. Eddie, great to see you. Quick chat with regards to the upcoming schedule. We've got Hopi Price and Dalton Smith on the show later. And not only have they both contracted COVID themselves, but their opponents on this fight card have fallen through, and you've had to bring in late replacements. So I understand we have a reserve fight booked for next Saturday for the David Avenesia Josh Kelly card. Can you just let us know what this is and the thought process behind it?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, Dave, you just got to be on your toes all the time. I mean, it's very difficult to wake up in any walk of life at the moment without bad news. You know, in your life, in the global economy, in your social life with restrictions, and boxing's no different. You know, you wake up every morning and a fight's fallen through, or someone's got COVID, or some country's shut down. And we really felt that small hall fighters aren't really getting the opportunity at the moment to take big challenges. So we're getting inundated with fights from people, you know, great managers like Steve Wood and Carl Greaves and Steffi Ball saying, how about this fight? You know, this is an absolute cracker, and it's a fight that we wouldn't normally make, but in the circumstances, both guys are just willing to do it, to go for it, to take the opportunity. And Brad Ray against Lee Cutler was a fight that was put to us by Steve Wood, and I know both guys. I know the styles. These guys have potential to break out and become TV fighters and big contract fighters, but they can only do it by taking a fight like this. So what the pandemic has thrown up is pushing fighters into taking fights more quickly. And Brad Ray against Lee Cutler is a great example of that. So what we've decided to do is bring those guys into the bubble, because we know that from now until next Saturday, although it's only 9 days, we're very likely to lose a fight, to lose an opponent, to get an opportunity to slip something else on the card. So we're going to pay these guys to come into the bubble and say, if anything falls out, you're on. And if it doesn't fall out, then maybe the week after you're on as well. So these guys are going to come in, they're going to experience the bubble, they're going to get the opportunity of a lifetime, and even more so if they land a slot on the show. And I have to say, I really hope they do. And I might just stick them on anyway, Dave, to be honest with you, because it's such a good fight. And it's exactly the kind of fight that we love to see. 50-50 fights, two young undefeated fighters taking a big risk. So Brad Ray against Lee Cutler on the reserve list for next week and moving forward for the bubble. Stand by for fireworks.
It's a great fight. Two undefeated fighters, like you said, super lightweights. Darren Ray, 7-0-2. Lee Cutler, 7-0 with 4 knockouts. Eddie, great to catch up. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for the smooth sounds. David Diamante on Matchroom Radio.
Today, we're joined by two young prospects making their own way in the pro game after stellar amateur careers, Dalton Thunder Smith and Ivan Drago Hopi Price. Dalton, one of the most decorated amateurs to ever come out of Sheffield. I think he's as Sheffield as Henderson's relish, to be honest. GB squad since 2014 and promoted to the podium squad in 2016. Hopi from Leeds. 7 national titles as an amateur, 2 European championships, and a world championship, silver and gold, in Buenos Aires at the 2018 Youth Olympics. Guys, great to see you. How you doing? How you finding fight camp so far?
Good. Nice to see you too as well. It's nice to be back. And, you know, every time I come, the fight camps get even better.
Hopi?
Good to see you as all, as usual. And, I think this is definitely a step up from fight camp. I think it's a lot better set up this time.
Yeah, you know, both of you guys were in fight camp, and you had great performances, which I'm going to touch on in a bit. But first, I want to talk about your fights this week. Both of you have had to deal with opponent changes. Dalton, you were due to fight Lee Appleyard, and now you're going to be fighting Ishmael Ellis. Hopi, you were about to fight Zahid Hussain, 16-1, big step up. Now you're fighting Daniel Mendoza. Guys, how frustrating was that for both you, and how have you adapted to the late change of opponents? Dalton, start with you.
Yeah, obviously it's frustrating for us, and you know, I got the Lee Appleyard fight scheduled in, and it was one I was looking forward to as well. It's a local derby, you know. Lee's a great fighter, and I've known him a few years, so you know, I was looking forward to that fight. But Lee got a COVID test, which was positive, so you know, I had to withdraw. And then it was, you know, I had different opponents stepping in. Then it was they was backing out, and then it was just back and forth all the time. So it was very frustrating. But I've got you know, a lively opponent in Ishmael Ellis, and I know he's going to be coming to win. Got a winning record, and you know, it's I've got to be up for it on Saturday.
Hopey.
You know, for me, obviously, at first I see obviously Dalton's fight fall through at first, and then I was still in the gym preparing for my fight, and I seen how long that took for Dalton to get another opponent, and then I think mine was very, very short notice. Mine was only probably 4 or 5 days ago, and yeah, I was gutted at first, you know. And then they did get this other Mexican kid who was supposed to be a tough fight, and he ended up pulling out as well, so I was frustrated at the time, but Dave finally got me someone, and then obviously I'm boxing this Mexican kid now, and as we know, all these Mexican kids are tough, so I've got to be on form and go and do a job.
Always have to be on form, there's no doubt about that. Let's take just a step back. You know, both of you guys made your pro debuts within 6 months of each other back in 2019. What aspects of your game in particular did you have to adjust to, Dalton?
I think obviously you've got to adapt your style, but as well, you're coming into like a world of, you know, sharks, and it's a business, and you've got to approach your sport more with a business mindset. So I think apart from like your boxing attributes, what you've got to change, you've also got to change your mentality and your mindset with the old world, what you're coming into. So you know, I've got a good team around me, and that's a big help.
Definitely, I think it's more of a lifestyle. I think normally, obviously, when it was amateur, you go down the club and you come out and you could sort of go do your own thing, and nothing to get said or talked about. Whereas of now, obviously, we've both been put in the limelight pretty early on, so things you say, things you do, gets heard about and things. So, like you said, just about changing. It's more of a lifestyle, I think, professional boxing.
Absolutely. And speaking of the limelight, you know, both of you guys were featured at Fight Camp. I want to talk about both of your fights real quick. You know, Hopi, you were fighting Johnny Phillips, which is funny. He's actually fighting on this card. He's fighting Ibi Nadim. But Johnny came to play spoiler, you know, and, you know, he was not an easy opponent, and you really looked slick. I mean, Phillips wanted it rough, and you used your boxing. I was really impressed how you stuck to Dave Caldwell's instructions. And you know, it wasn't an easy fight. It wasn't a fun fight, but you did it really well. You didn't just go for headshots. You mixed up your shots. You went to the body, and you invested in that, and he slowed down in about the third round. So that was great. And Dalton, for you, I mean, you were one of the standout performances of Fight Camp. You know, you knocked out Nathan Bennett in the fifth round with that right hand, and I mean, it was great. You showed good range, feints, head movement, utilized the ring. You stayed composed. You stayed patient. You know, you weren't just in there loading up looking for the knockout. You took your time. You mixed up your punches, double jab, right hand, and you finished with the right hand. So both of you guys, what was it like Fight Camp featured on such a large card with no crowd? I mean, did it remind you back in the days of in the amateur tournaments when you didn't have any fans?
Yeah, it takes you back to your amateur days, and you know, the old setup was, you know, phenomenal, and the setup in itself, you know, it was eye opening for us as, you know, young prospects coming through. It was an experience. So, you know, coming down the ramp at Fight Camp, it was like, wow, this feels weird. But once I was in the ring, I just felt, you know, I'm in a place where I feel comfortable, and nothing much changed.
What about you, Hopi?
It was similar to the same for me, you know, obviously coming out and seeing all of you and how good a setup it was like, wow. But obviously, I just, my fight before was in Saudi Arabia, so it was that big of a scale. I was pretty used to it, and, you know, as Dalton said, it was the same for me. Once I stepped into the ring, it didn't feel no different, you know, without there being a crowd, it felt the same to me.
So, following Fight Camp, the madness continued for both of you guys. You guys were both struck with COVID-19. As full-time pro athletes, how did it affect your training camp and, you know, your general preparation? Dalton?
From when I got COVID, it was, you know, you're expecting, you hear all these horror stories of what it does to people and stuff, but I think me being healthy, it didn't affect me too bad. It was just, I just a few aches and pains, felt like I had just the flu symptoms, but you know, getting back into the gym, it did take me a couple of weeks. You know, my chest felt tight, so that's probably why I didn't get to fight towards the end of the year, just because of that. But you know, we've got to think of ourselves as the lucky ones, because you hear so many people who are affected by this virus in a totally different way to what I have.
Hopey.
Like you just said there, obviously, I think with us being young and fit kids, I think it didn't affect us as bad. You know, for me, I didn't even have many symptoms. It was just we all had to go get a test and come back positive, and I felt okay, obviously, while I had it. But then, as Dalton said, when you got back into the gym, it did take a few weeks to get your fitness back, and I think that's why, obviously, I didn't end up boxing in 2020.
You know, speaking of the pandemic, it's changed the whole landscape of the fight game, and especially here with Matchroom. We've got the mantra of no easy fights. You guys have both embraced that, you know. And again, with the amateur pedigree that you both have, and you guys have both boxed all around the world, you know, Dalton down in Rio, in different places, and Hopi, like you said, in Saudi. And I know that you were out with Dave Colwell in Los Angeles at the Wild Card, and sparring some great guys out there, guys like Toka Khan Clary, and all kinds of great fighters, Brendan Vasquez, all kinds of different fighters. How do you feel about this no easy fight mantra?
Do you know what, for me, I don't mind it, you know. I prefer it, if anything, you know, like Dalton said, before, when we was boxing in the amateur game all over the world, that when we box at such a high level, that when you do turn over and obviously you start having these first few fights who people who's not really coming to win, then do you know what, it's actually harder. I think you go from fighting at such high level to then not as much a high level. So I think the no easy fights, I think it'll suit us both, and obviously we're both willing to take these fights.
Dalton.
Yeah, just the same, like Hopi says, it's, I think for the ones who are actually willing to step in and fight, you know, it's going to do better for our careers. You know, if it wasn't for the whole pandemic, what we've got, I'd probably have another 3-4 fights of the lower level, just because I'd be able to do with the circumstances. But when fight camp come along and it was no easy fights, it's either you take a, you know, 50-50 fight, otherwise you're not fighting. You know, me and Hopi was like, hell yeah, get us in.
Sink or swim.
Yeah, sink or swim. And, you know, us willing to do that, you know, we went out there, performed, and then our pedestals just went higher and higher and higher, because that got the best out of us.
Both of you guys, your fathers have been hugely influential in your careers, you know, also in your upbringing. Dalton, obviously you're trained by your father, Grant, and I don't know if anybody knows out here, but you wear a tattoo on your chest. Never give up on life. You got that tattoo at age 15. When you were just 10 years old in 2006, your father almost lost his life when he was hit by a tram out jogging. Can you talk about your father's, also Hopi, you know, your dad's your namesake. He's always by your side. I mean, they're both your rocks. Can you talk about that for a little bit, Dalton?
Of course, yeah. You know, my dad's a big, you know, he's a role model to me as well, raising me and my two sisters from, you know, being young kids. And then, obviously, he was unfortunate to have his accident, which the doctor said he wouldn't survive. And if he does, he'd be in a bad way, to be honest. And, you know, for me, just to see my dad, you know, raise his three kids, come through that, and then be training world champions and stuff now, you know, it just shows that, you know, when it gets hard, it's not, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Just, you've just got to have the right mindset. And, you know, I think that imprints that into me, that, you know, when the going gets tough, you've just got to grit your teeth and you say, you know what, it's my time and I'm going to prove everybody wrong.
What about you, Hopi?
For me, obviously, my father was like my idol, you know. Ever since, obviously, I was a kid, I never left his side. With whatever he went and whatever he'd done, I was there. And obviously, that's just in life, not in boxing. But obviously, he's been all the steps away with the boxing as well. And obviously, he trained me as amateur, and he trains my two younger brothers now and the boys down the amateur club. And it was his choice for me to go and train with Dave. Also, obviously, when it come to me turning professional, I didn't really know what I was going to do or where I was going to go. And obviously, I just listened to him, and he said, listen, Dave's the person you want to be with. And that's why one of the reasons I'm with Dave.
Speaking of idols, and speaking of your nicknames, both of you guys, Dalton, you're called Thunder for Arturo Gatti. Rest in peace. He was a friend of mine. I used to pick cards with Arturo. Miss him very much. The human highlight reel, the real blood and guts warrior. There was no one like him. And Hopi, Ivan Drago, Rocky IV, baby. You know, fathers aside, who else are your idols? Not just in the boxing game. Could be the boxing game, other sports. Talk to me. Dalton.
I'd probably say the fighters who I used to watch when I was growing up, they were the ones that inspired me. And obviously also my dad and my family, my nan, my granddad, they're all the role models in my career, not in my career, but life in general. And, you know, they're the ones what's made me into the person I am today.
What about you, Hopi?
For me, obviously, like you say, my father and all my family, obviously, you always look up to your family and your big cousins and things like that. But as Dalton said, in boxing terms, obviously, growing up watching all the great fights, for me, obviously, I'm still not too old, so it was Floyd Mayweather and all people like that was about when I was growing up, and what a tremendous fighter he was.
Absolutely. You know, Sheffield and Leeds, man, that whole region, I don't know what's going on up there, but it's just like a hotbed of fighters. You know, I don't know if it's something in the water up there or what, but
Yorkshire tea.
Yeah, the Yorkshire tea. The range of sparring must be extensive, you know, on your doorstep, and both living so close to the areas, you know, where you grew up. Is that a benefit, you know, being close to home with the home comforts and getting great sparring? And what do you guys think about that, Dalton?
Yeah, you know, I think Yorkshire in itself, it's always been a big boxing city, and you know, we're lucky to have the sparring and the competitiveness on our doorstep, so we're always helping each other out. These, you know, these local derbies always going off, so it's good for the sport. And it's not only that, I think in general the old nation, the big boxing city in Great Britain, I think, you know, most boxing fans all over the world, they always said there's no fans like the British. And yeah, it's good. I've been traveling around getting some of the best sparring I can get, and it's you know, it's good for me, good for my career, and it's only going to bring me on.
You know, Dalton, you're also a licensed second with the British Boxing Board of Control. I remember you in the corner for Charlie Edwards' title defense against Christopher Rosales. Tell us about that for a little bit.
It was some experience, and you know, obviously Charlie pulled the performance off and he was the underdog, and to be in the corner, I was sat there thinking, do you know what, I want to be here one day, you know, sat on the side of the ring, and I was soaking all that experience up. And you know, I think it was an emotional night for us, that obviously Charlie winning his world title, how much that meant to him, but also to see my dad, the emotion that he showed that night, because it's been a long journey. You know, obviously he's not had it rough growing up, especially with his kids, his accident, and then, you know, to sit there and he's trained a world champion, and that was his first world champion, and that for me as a son, that was proud to see for my dad.
Absolutely. Hopi, talk about Leeds and what it's like up there.
As you know, obviously Leeds, obviously Josh Warrington's headlining this show. They get behind everyone in every sport. Like you said, the football team, all the fans are crazy. The rugby team, there's a good support. All the fans are crazy. And I think now, obviously, with Josh obviously winning the world title, it's sort of put the spotlight a bit more on the boxing. And obviously, you've got some other good fighters coming through, and obviously myself. And I think once, obviously, Warrington does go, or in the next couple of years, I think I'll be the one to take over the limelight in Leeds.
You know, I want to put something to bed here, Hopi, real quick, because, I mean, you're a buck 22. You fight at 8 stone, 10 pounds, right? Super bantamweight. I've heard 5'8.5". I've heard 5'9", and I've heard 5'10". How tall are you?
5'10".
5'10", southpaw, fighting at a buck 22. Check it out. I love it. And we've got Dalton Smith, obviously, campaigning at super lightweight, 10 stone, 140 pounds. Both incredible divisions, both incredible young prospects with the sky is the limit for both guys. So we're really looking forward to having you on the show this Saturday. It's time to wrap it up. It's absolutely been a pleasure. Boxing fans, tune in tomorrow to Matchroom Radio with David Diamante.